continuing our lesson we started last week, but what does the B stand for? B, without looking. See if you can do these without looking. As we're doing our acrostic, what does the B stand for? Biblical authority. The Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice, how we live and what we believe, the reality of that. And the A then stands for autonomy of the local church. And what does that mean? Matthew, give me an idea. I didn't even prep him for this, so I put him on the spot. Matthew, give us something that means. Yeah, so there's no other body of organization who says this is what you must teach and practice and how you must live at your Rural Baptist Church. We are directly accountable to Jesus Christ, the head of the church, which is such an awesome privilege. And as well as an awesome privilege, what always comes with privileges? Responsibilities. It's a huge responsibility. Because in one sense, it's often easier to just do what someone else tells us to do, right? But we need to take God's word and apply it to life and live according to His word. Autonomy of the local church and how that functions, how that makes a difference as we function in the local church. We then, last week, began lesson number 4, dealing with the P. And the letter P stands for priesthood of the believers. And we talked about some of that in the reality that we have direct access to who? To God. And remember, we talked about the veil and how when Jesus Christ died, the veil in the temple was torn in half. Which direction, teens? Which direction was that veil torn? Top to bottom or bottom? There you go. Noelle's got it. Top to bottom. Again, it's a sign that it could only be done of God. God gave us direct access to Himself. We don't need a priest. Aren't you thankful you don't have to come and apologize to me for your sins to God and other people? You deal with that with God direct. I'm thankful you don't have to do that too. But the reality is you and I have direct access to God. Praise the Lord for that. We talked about some of that. Some of the blanks that we talked last week. We talked about the veil of the Jewish temple served as the barrier between God and men, and it was torn top to bottom. God was the one who ended the Old Testament practice of priestly intercession. Then we talked about just some of the scriptures that go along with that we have one mediator between God and man, and Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:5, who is that mediator? The man, Christ Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. We have direct access to God. Some churches teach you have to go through Mary to Jesus or pray to Mary so that Jesus will listen. Well, the reality is we have direct access to God through Christ. We don't need someone else. We have that one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, there's the old song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's not someone else on His behalf. Jesus did it. We have direct access to God. Then we said Mariolatry is the worship of Jesus' mother Mary, praying to her, treating her as a second mediator. And again, there's reasons. Man, was Mary a godly lady? Yes, she was. But that doesn't mean we lift her up on some pedestal. The Apostle Paul, was he a godly man? Yes, but we don't lift him up on some pedestal. We follow him. In fact, he said, follow me as I follow who? Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're reminded, to as we run that race, looking unto Jesus. It's not someone else we're looking unto. It's unto Jesus. And so, man, praise the Lord for Mary. We can learn a lot from her life. But she wasn't some saint that we have to pray to. Was Mary a saint? Teenagers? Was Mary a saint? Kind of a trick question. I heard somebody say something. Yes. Why was Mary a saint? There we go. Yes, she believed in Jesus. The Bible makes it plain and clear. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. Not someday after you die, you get voted by the church council and you become a saint. But at salvation, we're saints. So, as a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior, are you a saint? Yeah. Wow. Again, we have that direct access with God. What a blessing. Scripture makes it very plain and clear. And let's see here. We talked about benefits of praying directly to God. Remember, this is where we were ending up last week. Privilege of one-on-one communication with God. We have one-on-one communication with God. Question, not necessarily to be answered. Do you use that privilege? Do you use that privilege of one-on-one communication with God? Number two, enjoy personal fellowship with God. Man, we enjoy fellowship with each other and we build friendships and we build relationships here on earth. Do I enjoy that fellowship with God? I should. But sometimes it's so easy to get so caught up in the busyness of life. What are some things that we get busy and caught up in and sometimes we neglect that fellowship time with God? Work. Now, is work necessary? Yeah, but can it be distracting? Yeah. The Lord challenged me with that, with something in my own life just this last week as I was doing my devotions. Josh, what's your focus? Is it on this or is it on me? And that's where the reality has to come down to. I can have fellowship with God. Is that my priority? I think someone else said family. I think I heard family out there. Man, is family a necessary part of life? Sometimes we can say it's a necessary evil, right? We think of extended family, and sometimes, man, there's family issues. Who has allowed us to have family? God has. And yes, Jesus said we need to leave our father and mother and cleave to our spouse, and so we become a new family unit, and yet we're to honor our father and mother. And so there is still that honor and respect, isn't there, Sherry? You may live with your mom, but you're separate, but you still love and honor, and whether you're a teenager or an adult. We have family relationships, but we can't let those distract us from our fellowship with God. Personally telling God thank you for all his blessings. Hebrews 13:15. We read that passage last week, the fruit of our lips being praised to his name. Do I really praise God? Thank you, Lord, for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when we pray for our food, it's just some rote prayer. Jesus doesn't want us to do some rote prayer. I was thinking about that even as I was putting my kids to bed the other night. How often is it easy to pray the same prayer with my kids every night? Wait a second. Am I really thinking or am I just saying words? Am I enjoying fellowship with God? Am I really thanking God for all he is? I have direct access to God because the priesthood of the believer. The priest is the what we would say the mediator between regular people and God. Think of that in the Old Testament. We talked about that. And now, as a believer in the New Testament, I'm a priest before God. Do I use that and do I thank him personally? The relief from stress, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful, anxious, or stressed for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reality is, I can have a stress-free life in the midst of stress. Do I go to God? Or do I just eat up the stress? How many of you are like me and like to eat stress? You don't enjoy it, but you just do it, right? I mean, oh, how can I get rid of it? Do I cast all my care on him, for he careth for me? I should. Why can't I? The priesthood of the believer. I don't have to bear these burdens alone. Some of the old songs, I can't even remember the name of the song right now. I cannot bear my burdens alone. What's that? There we go. I must tell Jesus. Why? Because I have direct access to him. Because I'm a priest, according to New Testament teaching, under Jesus Christ. Wow. I can talk to him, and he listens. But as we think of all those blessings, we stopped and we didn't get into the hindrances of effective prayer. Are there hindrances to our priesthood access to God? There are some things that get in the way. Number one, our prayers will not be heard if we harbor sin in our lives. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Now, how many of you have sinned this last week? Okay, keep your hands up. Okay, that's all of us, right? That's right. Thank you. I mean, that's right, Don. I mean, yeah, that's all. Okay, now I want to ask you this. How many of you know you've already sinned this morning, right? I mean, the reality is, man, I know. But the point is not just, am I sinning and do I take care of it? Regarding here refers to habitual sin. Whether it's using profanity, pornography, lying, stealing from an employer, anger, whatever it may be, am I dealing with that, or do I just go on with life and regard it as just part of, that's who I am. You got to deal with me. Right? The reality is, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. That is something that hinders my priesthood relationship with God. In the Old Testament, priests were commanded to be ceremonially clean before they entered the temple. What were some of the things that the priests had to do to be ceremonially clean? Or things they couldn't do? Washing. They had certain washings that they had to do with their hands and the basin and so many other things. What are some other things either that they had to do or they couldn't do to be ceremonially clean? Had to dress appropriately. Some people say, well, man, you can't tell me what to wear to church. Well, the reality is we're not trying to tell anybody what to wear to church, but there is an appropriateness aspect, isn't there? We are coming to worship who? God, not myself. The reality is we won't stop someone. Well, it comes to a point. We will stop someone, depending on what they are or are not wearing. But the reality is we're not telling people, hey, you should wear this when you come to church. When it comes to certain areas of ministry and serving, yeah, you should dress this way. This is appropriate. But the reality is for all of us, when we stop to realize what we're doing when we come to church, we are coming to worship who? God. You know, I think about it often. Whether you agree with the current president, whether it's of this administration or a previous administration or wherever, if we had a one-on-one meeting or with a small group, we got to go meet with the president, would I go in my swim trunks and what do they call it, rash guard shirt for, surfing or whatever? No. But when it comes to God, I just wear whatever I want. There were certain things that priests had to do when they went to God. What were some things they couldn't do to be ceremonially clean? There were things, ooh, you can't do that. Okay, touch dead bodies. Is that a responsibility some people have today? Oh, yeah. But the reality is, there were some pictures in the Old Testament priesthood that were being shown. Some pictures of their relationship with God. God is holy. Even when it came to the Passover time, they weren't to eat bread with yeast. The picture of sin and so many other things we can picture from that. The reality is, there are hindrances to my prayer. Sin. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Do I need to live different? Yes. Not because pastor says so. Teens, when your friends at school say, well, why can't you do that? Well, we're taught against that at church. That's never a good reason. Now, part of it is you might be. But it goes back to biblical authority and my priesthood under Jesus Christ. I need to keep myself unspotted from the world. Now, do we need to live in the world? Yeah. But not to be of the world, fashioned like the world, unspotted from the world. Number two, our prayers for wisdom will be ignored if we refuse to accept God's answers. James 1:5-7, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Our prayers for wisdom will be ignored if we refuse to accept God's answers. Answers. Think about the context here. James. Jewish Christians going through hardship, persecutions, job loss, forced to flee cities. They're scattered abroad. They survived this ordeal, the flight to other locations. Of course, not with airplanes, teens, right? They didn't have airplanes back then. But as they're fleeing their area, going to a different location, they still have what they're wearing, but that's about it. I mean, they're going through some tough times here. Sometimes when we're going through tough times, how do we survive? Well, again, if any man lack wisdom, God, how do I go on? What do? I don't know where to go. There's no food on the table. There's no extra money for this. There's no that. This situation is not what I hoped. How do we go on? Well, we ask God for wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that what? Giveth free. Liberally. Lots of it. Unlimited wisdom. Like a buffet. You go to Old Country Corral or down south, what is it, Ryan's? Or there's some others. Man, how many of you enjoy those food buffets, right? Those are exciting. Well, man, we can have this wisdom buffet. But do I receive it? Or do I just say, nah, I don't like that one, God? Braideth not means God will not taunt us about our lack of wisdom or our sinful past. Aren't you thankful? So sometimes we visualize God as a stem, ready to lecture us about our failures, or about a stern God who's got that billy club over us, ready just to womp us. Yet God wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. But James 1 verse 6 says, let him ask in what? Faith. Not refusing to accept the answer, but willing to obey even before I know the answer. Think about that in your life. Have there been times in your life when you've had to, okay, God, I'm willing to do this, whatever you lead me to do, and God leads you to do something you weren't planning on? Anybody? Wow. Something you didn't enjoy? Man, I think of that. And yet, I have to obey, being willing to then go on. Trusting God enough to agree to obey before God tells me what to do. How about someone in the Old Testament? Think of anybody like that? Abraham. How about Abraham? Follow me. I will lead you. How about the children of Israel as they left Egypt? Following by the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Wow. Promising to obey God no matter what the answer, and He will freely give wisdom. Nothing wavering means we promise not to dither or fight or argue or, oh, I really don't know. Is this? Well, God leads, we obey. We trust. Whether He tells us, your family member is willing to mend this broken relationship, go back to him or her and apologize for your part in the problem. Extend that forgiveness. Well, I didn't do it. They need to apologize what? First. The reality, sometimes I just need to be willing to obey whether or not it gives me everything I want. But God can work through those situations and help us. God cares. When I ask for wisdom with predetermined agreement, I decide who will control my life. When I ask for wisdom with predetermined agreement, I decide who will control my life. So if I ask for wisdom predetermined to obey God, who's going to control me? God. If I ask for wisdom predetermined that, man, I'm going to do what I believe is best. How many of you know what's best in certain situations? At least you think you do. Right? I mean, that's me. I can tell you big situations or small situations, I know what's best here. And then as I'm praying about it, God shows me something else. It's like, man, I don't know, God. That just isn't going to work. You ever talked with God like that? Well, the priesthood of believers is we have direct access to God, but then I should listen to Him and obey. Number three, our prayers will be restricted if we refuse to forgive others. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Any of you ever struggle to forgive other people? Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But the reality is, I can forgive others not based on me, but because my Father, which is in heaven, has forgiven me much. When I stop to think about that. Harboring hatred in my heart towards someone else is not going to lead me to having that open fellowship and communication with God as a priest. It will hinder that and block that. Not forgiving someone else will only hurt myself. Yes, it'll hurt them, but the reality is it blocks my relationship with God. My priesthood of the believer is being hindered. Our prayers will be rejected if we pray with selfish motivations. James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Consume, meaning like the story of the prodigal son, wasteful spending. I just want it to consume it, to eat it up, to use it on what I want. You ever prayed for something that, man, you know you really wanted? And God didn't answer. And it's like, man, He didn't answer. Well, I prayed in faith. But what's our motivation behind it? Man, I really want that Lamborghini. Or, man, I really want whatever it may be. what's my motivation for it? Is it to please God or is it to fulfill the lust of my flesh? What's my motivation? Yes, as a priest who has direct access to God and needs to pray, what's my motivation as I pray? It must be all about Him, not with the selfish motives. Think about this prayer. Lord, please help me to find a higher paying job so I can buy a bigger boat than my neighbor has. I mean, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with a higher paying job, but what's my motivation behind my prayer? Lord, please help me to be a Sunday school teacher so everyone will know at church how much of a spiritual giant I really am. Well, no. Now, our Sunday school teachers should be spiritual leaders, but are they the only spiritual giants in our church? No, but if that's my prayer, would I be maybe even lacking of a spiritual giant as I do that? Yes, I have priesthood access to God. What are my motivations as I come to Him and ask? God is delighted to give us a higher paying job at times. What's my motivation for it? He may not want me to have a higher paying job if all I'm going to do is consume the money on myself and my lusts. He may not allow me to minister as a Sunday school teacher if all I want is just so that I can be seen. Jesus says, you have your reward. Right prayer, wrong motivation. So even as a priest before God, I need to watch my motivation in prayer. Our prayers will be hindered if we treat our spouses with contempt. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, 1 Peter 3, 6-7, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If a husband treats his wife like a little girl who needs to continually be told what to do, the wife will treat her husband as her father. But that's not a marriage relationship, is it? Sometimes as a wife treats her husband as a father, it's because she's sick of it and that's how she treated her dad. As husbands, we must love our wives. Does our relationship with our spouse, if we're married, does our relationship with our spouse affect my priesthood relationship with God? Yes, it does. Again, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? So the way I treat my wife affects my relationship with God. Whoa, that's pretty humbling. Along with those privileges of having that priesthood relationship with God comes a lot of responsibilities. Wives, how you treat your husband will affect your relationship with God. Treating him like a little boy who just needs continual correction. And he'll often respond treating you like a mother. But again, the reality is, it's not just that kind of a relationship. Yes, there's the point of leader in the home and love and submit. And yet we could go through so many truths about that. In teens, you say, well, I'm not married. No, this is stuff to build on your knowledge as you prepare for that day. How are you going to treat your spouse someday? These things are important. Dealing with love for each other as a married couple. If I don't have that right, now none of us have it right. We should be continually growing. But the reality is, I must love my wife. Treating our spouse with contempt is a good way to lose our fellowship with God. What am I doing? There's so many other things we could deal with as we think about this truth of prayer. Priesthood of the believer. We have direct access to God. So what are you going to do with it this week? Now again, as we've talked about these Baptist distinctives, these are not just church doctrine things that we believe. These are church doctrine. Technically, it's even biblical doctrine. That's why we're opening up the Word of God. But as we think about it, it is biblical doctrine that changes the way I live. Now remember, we said B stands for biblical authority. The Bible is my sole authority for life, for faith, and practice. So, should the Bible change my life tomorrow, not, and affect it tomorrow, not just the way I worship when I get together in church on Sunday? Yes. Autonomy of the local church. You say, well, that's just something, a church doctrine. Yeah, but how does that change my life then throughout the week? How can the belief of the autonomy of the local church change my life throughout the week? Talked about one last week. Many of you were able to practice it yesterday. One of the aspects of it. Taking responsibility for the property of which God has entrusted to us. And now I know not everybody is able to come out, and man, that doesn't mean you don't believe in autonomy of the local church if you weren't here. But a lot of you were able to come out. Me and we were able to accomplish a lot of different tasks around the church. It's not just someone else's responsibility, some organization. Hey, this is their building. They better take care of it. You know, if your business leases a building from someone or you rent a house from someone, there's only so many things that you do. And then you call the landlord up and say, hey, come fix this. Come fix your kitchen faucet. It's leaking. When you become a homeowner, you do it. Or you find someone else who can do it and you're responsible to cover that. Autonomy of the local church should affect us, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but throughout the week. How I live, what I think about the church. Oh, the church will take care of that. Well, wait a second. If I'm a member of the church, this is my church. By the way, is this your church just as much as it's my church? It sure is. It's our church. The autonomy of the local church does make a difference every day, every week. So we've got biblical authority, autonomy of the local church, priesthood of the believer. How can that make a difference in your life this week? When you stop to consider that doctrinal truth, that yes, as Baptists we believe, but how does that make a difference in your life? How can that make a difference in your life this week? Okay, so how you control your life? Am I going to talk with God or am I just going to do my own thing? I should talk with God. When I stop to think about priesthood of the believer, man, it motivates me to. A lot of times we don't do what we believe because we aren't focused on it. We don't stop to think about it. If you really believe that your research paper is due on Friday, at least by Thursday evening you would start it, right? You may know it's due on Friday and say, I don't even care. And so you do nothing. There are people who do that, right? Some of you kids in school say, you know someone who's like that, right? They don't do it at all. Trin's like, yep, I know. The reality is that's where some people are. But when I stop to believe the difference and focus on it and apply it to my life, it makes a difference. These Baptist distinctives are to make a difference in your life. Not just, this is our church doctrine. This is what our church believes. No, this is what you believe. That's why you're part of Jeruel Baptist Church. Again, we've talked about our name. But because you yourself are a priest under God. Yes, I'm the pastor of our church. But you have direct access to God just as much as I have. So how you control your life. How else can this aspect of the Baptist distinctives, how else can this change your life this week? How you control your life. Ken?
Sharing the gospel with others.
Okay, sharing the gospel with others. Man, they can have direct access to God too. What a blessing. How else? Okay, so separation, not acting like the world. So the aspect of being unspotted from the world. So if I stop to think about my priesthood of the believer, my priesthood relationship with God, will it change what I watch on TV? It should. Would it change what kind of media, whether it's any of the social networking, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, will it affect what I choose to look at on those things? or even what I choose to communicate about on those things? Yeah. Will it affect the way I talk with my friends? Yeah. Will it affect the jokes I choose not to laugh at, even though my friends might think otherwise? When I realize I am a priest of God, why would I want to dirty myself? Remember, the Old Testament priests, they were ceremonially clean. Do I allow myself to get dirty spiritually? Last Sunday morning, we talked about the natural mind, and today we're going to continue on in that passage, the spiritual mind, the Christ-like mind. When I stop to realize the priesthood of the believer, it will make a difference in my life this week, what I believe, how I act, how I live. Claire, you were saying another area that it, I think it was you, Claire, I was saying another area that this will change. Amen. So it's not just being unspotted from the world, but the priests lived godly lives. So it's not just that I won't laugh at certain jokes. I might even stand up and say, I can't laugh at that, doesn't please God. Or, guys, that's really not funny. This is why. Or I might stand up and say, guys, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. Not because my pastor said so. Not because my church teaches against that. Man, I'm a priest under God. Why would I dirty my life with that? That changes my motivation. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, are you a priest before God? No. But you sure can be. Jesus paid it all. That one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Ooh, you got to go back and start at the B, biblical authority. Jesus died for your sins. He came down to this earth. Our scripture verse for December, I know it's a couple months away, but our scripture verse for December, Lloyd, here you go. Galatians, we think about that. And the fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son. Jesus came for you. Wow, friend. That's what the Bible is teaching. That is the only way you can have direct access to God, the priesthood of the believer. Notice it's the priesthood of the believer and not the priesthood of all people. Because you've got to be saved. Jesus died for your sin. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, this isn't going to make any difference in your life unless you're saved. So today is the day of salvation. But for those of us who are saved in here, let's let the priesthood of the believer change the way we live today. Yes, here at church. When we sing songs, you're worshiping who? God. You're not singing for the person next to you. When you're listening to the Word of God, it's not just how much longer until this thing is over. God is speaking to me directly, and I can respond directly to Him when it comes to the invitation time. When it comes to our potluck and the fellowship we have centered around God. When it comes to the afternoon service and we introduce our verse for this next month. Then when it comes to the rest of the day, you've got whatever, if it's family time or whatever you're doing afterwards. Priesthood of the believer should guide and change the way I live the rest of the day. So let's let these truths change us. God wants to make a difference in our lives today and throughout this week. Father, we thank You for Your love.